Today we get a glimpse into the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah.
It wasn't just a natural desire. Jude really picks that up. Jude highlights all the perversity, uses words that are strong. Remember last time to describe the unnatural desire of the inhabitants of Sodom. But Ezekiel picked up on something that I think is so important to state. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, and they did not aid the poor and the needy. This is a society completely devoid of justice.
A society void of justice. Sodom and Gomorrah. More to this than meets the eye, as we'll see today. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's broadcast in Genesis.
The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, "I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This fellow came to sojourn, and he's become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." Then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place. Because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his son-in-laws to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh, no, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it's a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. When the New Testament speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah, it uses this entire event as a teaching tool to help us remember and to think very seriously about God's judgment against sin. 2 Peter 2 tells us that God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, and made them an example. Thus the title this morning of Paradigm Judgment. An example to those who afterward would live ungodly. In other words, this was always designed to be used throughout the generations and in our day as a teaching tool and a specific example for us to teach us and our children about how God ultimately is going to deal with the problem of sin. We don't have a whole bunch of these sort of scenarios in Scripture. We have the flood event in what we've studied so far, but this single event of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was to be the event throughout history that would teach us about the final judgment that is to come and ultimately how God is going to deal with all of this, how God is going to punish this world. It was done with fire. 2 Peter describes, at the end of the world, it will be destroyed with fire. And this morning was to have some kind of effect. This is the design of this in how the believer is to live and to be prepared for what is going to come to pass. That's how the scriptures constantly spoke about Sodom. Jesus did the same thing in Luke chapter 17 when he said, on the day when Lot went out from Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be when the Son of Man is revealed. You see, Jesus just made the link and linked it up and said, just like that, this is how it's going to be. So the whole event that we're studying this morning was to be exactly that, a teaching tool, a reminder of a real situation that happened, a kind of lasting monument for us of what will happen to those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ and pursue an ungodly life. And last time we considered in Genesis chapter 18, which was a remarkable chapter when we put this together, that Abraham was finally learning this about the Lord's justice. And Abraham was finally beginning to take a little more seriously now why this promised seed needed to come. He and his wife had been laughing. He had laughed in chapter 17. His wife laughed in chapter 18. And by the time chapter 18 was done, he was not laughing anymore. It got real serious. And all that laughter went away when he realized the severity of God's judgment that is to come. And now why the birth of Isaac was so needed. When the Lord came down in chapter 18, the first question he had is, where is your wife? He is focused on that. He is focused on the coming promised seed. He is focused on the promised son. And because in the next scene, you have the reality of judgment. The promised seed, the promised son, and judgment set side by side. And now Father Abraham has had a big shift in how he's looking at the seed. He hasn't taken this very seriously so far. Well, we ended last time with Abraham standing there interceding before the Lord in the court scene, remember? And he starts with 50 and he's down to 45. Lord, if there's just this many righteous, would you spare it? One last time, just 10. And the Lord says, if I find 10 in that city, I will spare it. That's it. That was the end of that scene. This morning, we pick up where we left off. And what we see is the Lord answering that question of Abraham. Will he? You should all be at this point thinking a little bit about, will he find 10 righteous in that big, massive section of the plain where there are 5 large cities? Will he find 10 righteous? Will you really, Lord, destroy the righteous with the wicked? Could God do that? That's the question, because Abraham posed that. Would you, far be it from you, Lord, to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And the answer is, of course not. God's not going to do that. And today, interwoven into this narrative, which is so fascinating to me as I studied this and prepared this sermon, are the shocking actions and the depths to which the Lord goes to deliver Lot. And that's what should really stand out today. As terrible as this event is, and there's nothing easy about preaching this text. I thought to myself, this is a really hard text to preach. Yet in the midst of it is the glorious actions of our Lord, stooping so low and being relentless to pull out who I think is one of the worst examples of somebody in the Bible. Maybe worse than Samson. We'll let Dr. Godfrey tackle that in Sunday school. As terrible as this event is, it was to be a comfort to struggling sinners that the Lord will deliver his people no matter how bad it gets. And I believe it should cause us to fall on our knees, but also ask the question this morning, what does the Lord desire of us? What is the Lord after with us? What do we learn from this? How do we then interject the life of Lot to us? How do we transfer that to us and think very carefully about the core message the Lord wants us to take from this particular passage? The one thing I come up with is, if he hadn't delivered righteous Lot, everyone would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. But the shocking thing is that Lot was righteous. Let's look at this chapter. It's now evening, the sun has set. Abraham had his meal with the two angels, but at some point the angels got up, remember, and their faces were directed toward Sodom. They're looking at the sun hitting it. The sun is going down in the west, and they're looking at the beautiful cities of the plain. God had just revealed to his servant Abraham what he is about to do, because Abraham is a friend. That's what God does for his friends. Abraham has now gone back to his tent, and about this time, the angels have approached the gate of the city. So when you come to verse 1 of chapter 19, I want you to notice that these angels, now appearing as men as they have been, they come to the city, and who is the first person that they meet at the gate of the city? That's verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. We haven't heard from Lot for some time now. In fact, the last time we heard from Lot was back in chapter 13, when Abraham had come to deliver Lot, remember, and he had plundered all those kings, and he rescued Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was very accountable. They had experienced the deliverance of Abraham, and so did Lot. But the surprising thing was, Lot went back. And we haven't heard from Lot now for some time. Well, the scene is moving. Notice the way that the Bible here describes Lot. He's sitting in the gate of the city. They say that the city gate of Sodom was a great monument. It was beautiful. It was a high, narrow passageway, and it was really a splendid thing to walk through the gate of Sodom. It was a whole picture of its culture and power. Sodom was a beautiful city. As we saw last week, the text is drawing our attention to something else than the fact that when these angels came to Abraham, he showed hospitality, but the Lord wanted to draw a great contrast for us, not ultimately just to teach us about hospitality, but to show us a great contrast between the righteous and the wicked. Abraham sitting in his tent door, Lot is sitting in the gate of Sodom, and how are these men treated? Great contrast of what grace is doing in the life of Abraham, the hospitality that we studied, and now what's happened now to these men as they enter the city of Sodom. They want to go and stay in the open square. Lot persuades them. Lot knows that can't happen. So he begs them. He begs them to come and to stay in his own house. And so in verse 4, it all begins. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, and all the people to the last man. Now think of that. Are there 10 righteous, Lord? all the people, young and old, all the people to the last man surrounded the house. See the emphasis here? It's being answered for you. There's none righteous, no, not one. Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. The men of the city, young and old from every quarter. And this is a perverse scene. They're howling. They are howling for these men to rape. The society had become so out of control immorally and sexually, they were acting like zombies to everyone who walked into the gate. The city encircles the house. And why does the Lord reveal this so graphically to us? What is the Lord ultimately teaching us this morning when we look at this? Because this is uncomfortable. It should be uncomfortable. And I believe the first thing that the Lord wants us to grasp this morning is that his judgments are not willy-nilly. His judgments are just. His judgments are deserving. They're not fly-off-the-handle kind of judgments. Remember what Abraham said? What he said to Abraham? The Lord said to Abraham, the outcry of Sodom has come up. All I keep getting are all these cries, cries of injustice. And remember now, God had set apart Abram to train his children justice and righteousness. This is all I'm getting. All of the cries, they just keep coming up. It's fascinating when we look at this, you know, what Sodom had fallen into. It wasn't just a natural desire. Jude really picks that up. Jude highlights all the perversity, uses words that are strong, remember last time, to describe the unnatural desire of the inhabitants of Sodom. But Ezekiel picked up on something that I think is so important to state. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease. And they did not aid the poor and the needy. This is a society completely devoid of justice. And they were haughty, and they did abominations before me. So I removed them when I saw fit. Societies, you see, are always moving in cycles. Societies are always moving in cycles of iniquity. Remember what the Lord said to Abram back in chapter 15, that Israel's going to go down into Egypt, and they're going to be there for a set period of time, but he won't bring them out until the iniquity of the Amorites was complete. Israel was to cleanse them. What was the Lord saying that? Have you ever reflected upon that? That in every given society that has ever existed, there is a cycle of iniquity working itself out, and this cycle is going somewhere, and key things mark the cycle of iniquity working itself out to the ultimate judgment, whether it's a judgment that puts an end to that nation throughout history, or it's the final judgment. That cycle is working its course, and it's so helpful for us in the United States so that we understand this. Key things happen. The poor are totally abused. They become poor. Everyone is at ease with idleness. Excess is everywhere. Excess is everywhere. Pride marks that society. If you ever were to go through before the judgment on the northern kingdom, listen to what was described in Isaiah. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, think of Sodom, an outcry. This is all he gets. Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field till there's no more room. They're just greedy. They keep taking and taking and taking and taking till the poor are pushed out. Remember? Until you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. The Lord has sworn in my hearing, houses shall be desolate, large and beautiful houses. 10 acres of a vineyard shall yield but one bath. we keep going on. Woe to those who rise in the morning that they may run after strong drink, who tarry late in the evening until wine inflames them. The Lord, Isaiah 3, has taken his place to contend. He stands to judge peoples. The Lord will enter into judgment with elders and princes of his people. It is you who have devoured the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the face of the poor, declares the Lord God of hosts. I rehearse that to say when you have the Lord saying these kind of things, the cycles run its course. And God is showing that the entire culture, the entire cities of the plain had been given over into exactly what Romans 1 describes. The whole thing. They were given over. Now, you can be smart and think about a little bit what's happening to us. When you see the poor and the middle class getting wiped out, and you see the greed that dominates, and you see all the idle this going on in our society, and excess everywhere, and pride governing our country, and you see what's being legalized in all the states, we're in the cycle. And I've rehearsed a lot about this in my time with you, and I think everyone here would say, it's an interesting time to preach this stuff, because 20 years ago, if I preached it, people might have been a little more irritated. But you've seen it. And now you say, yes, Pastor, we see this, we get it. This is where I think the text this morning is challenging us a little bit to go beyond that. We're being challenged to look at who's interwoven into this narrative. We're being challenged to look at the life of Lot and to ask, what happened to Lot?
Well, we're leaving you with a bit of a cliffhanger today. You'll have to come back tomorrow and join us as we conclude our look at the Sodom paradigm judgment found in Genesis 19, verses 1 through 33. And just exactly what did happen to Lot, and what we can learn from it here today in the 21st century. This is Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon taking us to the book of Genesis this week. If you would like a copy of today's program, contact us. Let us know your interest. We'll get a CD out to you, or make it easy on yourself. Simply visit our website, agradio.org. All of our programs are posted there so you can listen to them at your convenience or download them and listen to them again later on when you've got a chance. agradio.org. It's also a great place to link into Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can also follow us at those locations as well. Questions, comments about the broadcast, a praise report. Man, we would love to hear from you. Here's how you reach out to us. If you're emailing us, simply go to agradio.org. You can email us there. Or call us at 888-504-8805. And then if you've got a smartphone, simply pull up the Voice Memo app. And then record your question or praise report for us. Don't forget to leave your name and where you're calling from. And then take that voice memo and email it to us. Questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. If we use that question or praise report, we'll email you back and let you know what radio program we're using it on so that you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer. Again, that's questions@agradio.org. Well, as we close out our program, let's take a sneak peek at tomorrow's broadcast and the answer to that cliffhanger we're leaving you with here today. Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
He's not a joke written on the pages of Scripture. Lot is for real. Lot is a man who, I add, fell into what the Bible talks about and warns against, a love for the world and the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you see, you shouldn't do that because all of this is coming down. And the consequences were terrible. You don't want to live this kind of life. You don't want to go through this. He lost his wife. The next scene with his daughters is horrendous. In fact, it says that Lot's wife turned around to look, and she became a pillar of salt. You know, Josephus in his day says that the pillar was still there. And I was reading a few commentators, and John Currid, one of the commentators, said the very same thing. You can still go find the pillar. If you don't believe me, I don't know if it's the one, but I Googled it. And I tell you what, there she was. It looked like a woman as a pillar of salt looking over the Dead Sea. Go Google it. God is not telling us all this morning to discourage us. God is telling his people that he can help us and that he's strong to save us.
That's tomorrow on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Until then, may Christ be your abounding grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.